Why don't you take a second, meet somebody next to you, ask them their name, where they're from. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus. Everyone say Genesis. Say Exodus. Say Leviticus. Leviticus. Leviticus 1. Whenever my wife and I go out to dinner, we try to avoid the very expensive restaurants simply because they're very expensive. And sometimes that when you go to those very expensive restaurants, they give you less food for more money. And what they say is that you're paying for presentation. I like the presentation of In-N-Out Burger just fine. So I actually went there last night. So we went to a restaurant this week. We went to, we had a date with a couple. We hadn't picked a place, and they called them and said, we're going to this place. And I was like, so gladly they were paying for it. I was so happy they were paying for it. So we were sitting there. Actually, I had a coupon, but they ended up using their coupon, so neither one of us had to pay. But we were sitting there, and the guy comes up and says, you know, we want to tell you about our entrees. And he starts talking about, you know, their lobster. And our lobster comes from the southern tip of South America in the cold waters. And, you know, the colder the water, the sweeter the lobster. And I'm like, yeah, I knew that. There's cold water right here in La Jolla. I want you to get some lobster right here. It's real cheap. Our beef comes from Montana, and it's corn-fed. And, you know, we don't have any radioactive stuff in them and no pesticides. And, you know, and then why don't you try our entree? We have a seafood entree, appetizer for all four of you. It has crab and calamari and lobster. $90. $90. Now, whenever you go to a restaurant like that, you can't ever act surprised at prices. And you can't ask. You're just not supposed to. Like, if you go in to buy a Rolls Royce, don't ask the price, because if you ask the price, you can't afford it. You just have to act like it doesn't matter. So when he said $90, I'm like, did he say $90? Or did he say 19? No, $90 for appetizer. For appetizer. I was like, just bring the bread and the water, we'll be fine. But it was a good meal, and like I said, the people were with, they paid for it, they had coupons, I had coupons, and we were all fighting over the check. But the point the guy was trying to make was that there's only certain kinds of food that are worthy of our customer. We are committed to giving you the best food possible. When you approach God, you can't give God any old thing. God prescribes to us that we give him a sacrifice or offering worthy of worship. If you are a sinner today, it has never been forgiven. What is it that you're going to give God to get forgiven? You got nothing that's good enough for God. Therefore, you have a problem. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Don't look at me. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your Bible. Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to people today. I pray even now that people know that you love them and that they've been running from you. I pray today they would stop running. I pray today someone who's addicted to heroin and methamphetamine or cocaine, alcohol, someone who has everything they could ever ask, but yet there's still something missing in their life. I pray that you would speak to all of us and that we would make a decision to be set free. In Jesus' name, everyone said... Okay, let's do a little quiz. Back up. We're in Leviticus. Genesis is the book of? Exodus is the book of what from where? Exodus is the book from exit from Egypt. Say exit from Egypt. If you know, the Jews had multiplied to 2 or 3 million people. They were in Egypt in slavery, and Moses was born in, with a death sentence on his head. He grew up to be the deliverer of the Jews, and he delivered them from Egypt to Exodus, the book of Exodus. They walked around for 40 years. After about 10 months or walking or so, they come to Mount Sinai. This is Sinai for sinuses, if you weren't here for that quiz. Mount Sinai, that's what's painted on the wall behind me, Mount Sinai. They get to Mount Sinai, and God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai, gives him the Ten Commandments, and then he gives him the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus are rules and guidelines to teach the Hebrew people how to be holy. Say holy.
Holy.
Say holy.
Holy.
Holy means to be set aside for a divine purpose. Everyone say set aside.
Set aside.
Holy means to be set aside for a divine purpose. Now, Abraham had a son named... Abraham had a son named
Isaac
had a son named Jacob's name was changed to
Israel.
Everyone say Israel.
Israel
had 12 sons. His fourth son was Levi. All the Levites were the sons of Levi. The book of Leviticus, look at the first four letters in the Leviticus, Levi. The book of Leviticus were rules and guidelines to teach the Hebrew people how to be holy, but given specifically to the Levites. Because the Levites' job was to be the custodians of holiness. They were going to be the priests. Matter of fact, in the family of Levi, there was one specific family, the family of Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. Aaron and Moses were Levites. Only Aaron's sons, of all the Levites, could be priests. All the other Levites were the servants of the priests. So they would take this, all the tabernacle down, they would set it up, etc., etc. But only the sons of Aaron, of the sons of Levi, could be the priests. This book is specifically for them to teach and oversee the ceremony and the holiness of the Jews, to teach them how to do it and to oversee the process. What we're going to talk about today is this, that. Because in the book of Leviticus, the thing that God continues to teach the people is three things about himself, about holiness. One, that God is holy, man needs to be holy, and God, the holy God, is who makes us holy. I'm going to say it again. Leviticus is all about holiness. Key word is holy. Say holy.
Holy.
One more time, say holy.
Holy.
The key word is holy. Leviticus is all about Jewish people. You've been slaves for 400 years. You have no Bible. You don't know who Jehovah God is. I'm going to use this book and the law to teach you how to be holy. To teach you how to be a people set apart just for me. How to act just like I say act. How to love each other just like I say love each other. How to worship one God, not many, the way I tell you. So I am holy, you need to be holy, and I'm going to teach you how to be holy because you don't know how. And you don't have anything in your possession good enough to give me. So I'm going to teach you how to prepare what you have to give me in a way that I accept it. You can't give God just any old thing. So remember, God is holy, we need to be holy, and God's the one who makes us holy. God's the one who instructs us on holiness. It's very critical for us to understand this because this principle not only applies to the Levites and the Hebrews, it applies to us. You're supposed to be holy. God is still holy, and he still wants us to be holy, and he's the one who makes us holy. You can't make yourself holy. And by the way, holiness is not measured by what you see on the outside. It's measured by what you see on the inside. Okay, so it's all about what God does in us. It's all about God's standard, God's supernatural touch in our life. Okay? So we're going to look at 3 points. Now first, look at the 5 offerings in your lesson plan. There are 5 offerings there. The first part of Leviticus talks about how to worship God. Everyone say worship God. The second part of Leviticus talks about how to walk with God. Say walk with God. Say worship. Say walk. Say worship. Say walk. The first thing you always have to establish is how do I worship God? How do I come into the presence of God? How do I establish relationship with God? After I establish relationship with God, now I can walk with God. Now I can love my neighbor as myself, which is part of walking with God. Unless I establish relationship with God based on God's standard, I can't walk with God. Many people have this religious relationship with God that's not a spiritual one. Therefore, they don't walk with God. That's why you know people who go to church whose lives are no different. Because their relationship with God is based on religion, not God's standard. Therefore, they don't have a relationship with God that's right. They have a religious relationship with God, which is not what he prescribes. He wants to have a spiritual relationship with us. Okay? So he's going to lay out in the first part of the book how to have how to establish a worship, spiritual relationship with God. And then in the second part of the book, we're going to look at how to walk with God, how to eat, how to conduct ourselves sexually, how to conduct ourselves with criminal offenses and treat the poor people. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. These five offerings all deal with how to enter into the presence of God. The first offering was a burnt offering. Everybody say burnt. The burnt offering was symbolic of the person offering the animal, saying, I want to be totally surrendered to God. Consume me with your Holy Spirit. They would take the offering, put it on the altar, which is this big box right here, and the fire would consume the whole offering. And what the person was saying was, God, I want you to consume all of me. There was a grain offering, basically saying thank you to God. There was a peace offering, saying I want to be at peace with God. There were two sin offerings, because we had a whole lot of sin. And both sin offerings were basically, God, forgive me of my sin, different types of sin. So those five offerings were basically, God told Moses to tell the people, if you want to have a relationship with me, here's what you need to do. Okay? We're not going to read all five of them. We're going to read the first one, the burnt offering. And we're going to learn three main common threads of all the offerings. The first common thread is one, is that the offering must be selected by the worshiper according to God's standards. What you offer to God must be selected by you, and it must be according to God's standard. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring an offering of the flock of the livestock and of the herd and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering, sacrifice of the herd, let him offer it a male without blemish. Everyone say without blemish. Turn to chapter 2, verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. When his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Say without blemish. Turn to chapter 4. Now the Lord spoke, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord, in anything which ought not to be done, and does anything in them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish. Everyone say without blemish. Now turn back to chapter 1, please. Without blemish. What he's saying is, now look, when you give me a little sheep, a little ram, a little bull, whatever it is you give me, don't give me one with eczema, psoriasis, fleas, broken leg, tooth all missing, you know, a crackhead lamb. I don't want none of that. You know, I don't want that. I want you to give me the best one you have. Now, I want you to think about this. These people walked around for 40 years. They walked around for 40 years. They didn't have farms. Everything they owned, they had to carry. All their food, they either carried or walked next to them in the form of these animals. They didn't eat meat whenever they wanted, because to eat meat, you had to kill an animal. And once you killed it, you couldn't refrigerate it. You had to eat it right then. But then 1 or 2 days, or it was spoil. So these animals were very, very precious to them. And meat you only ate on special ceremony. So God says, when you want to come to me, I want you to go in your herd, which is all your most valuable things you have, and I want you to give me the best animal you got. Man, God, I got this one over here. He's just about to croak. Why don't I give that to you? Because he's going to die anyway. A lot of times people, when they give stuff to the church or any nonprofit, they go in their house and they look at something they want to get rid of. And they call up and say, hey, we got something for you. It's a really nice armoire. They even use nice words, armoire and a credenza. And you go get it. It's all rickety. It's all, you know, if you polish it and fix it up, it'll be really nice. Now, why don't you do that? Because we want to just get rid of it. And what God is saying to them is, I don't want the old sheep. I don't want the diseased sheep. I want that good one over there. And for you to give that, hey, that means you meant it. That meant you meant it. Matter of fact, we got a little video to show you to kind of illustrate this point, to kind of drive it a little home for you, so hopefully it'll make it a little clear. About what God, what you want to give God your best. When you pray, do you pray when you're alert or when you have sleep? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you pray at night? Don't raise your hand. How many of you pray at night right as you're going to sleep? Put your head in your pillow's going, yeah, we gonna sleep. Come on, just put your head on down here, cuddle on up, and sleep, sleep. And you're going, oh dear God, thank you. Now you can raise your hand on this. Have you ever prayed, fell asleep, woke up all refreshed, and think that it was your prayer that made you refreshed? Yeah, I feel good. Have you ever, imagine having a conversation with someone, every time you talk to them, they're falling asleep on you. Is that your best? You know, one of the reasons we have these baby, crybaby announcements, we don't have anything against babies, but babies cry. And we want the parents, as well as all of us, to be able to focus on what's happening. And so, matter of fact, we now are renting this whole building. And we're building a whole lot more space so people can go take their kids in there and so they can watch and so or leave your kids in there so you can be focused on God and not trying to be distracted. When you read your Bible during the day, well, one, do you read your Bible? When you read it, do you read it when you're focused? Are you watching TV, read the paper, just kind of putting in your time? Are you reading it with a pen and paper and praying, God, speak to me. Speak to me. So God says, I want your best. When you pray, I want your best. When you serve me, I want your best. When you give to me, I want your best. When you sacrifice to me, I want your best. When you speak on my behalf, be prepared. I want your best. Don't give me seconds. And so it's very critical for us to understand this. He was telling the Hebrews the same thing. He says, when you come into my presence, I am not going to allow you into my tabernacle. I'm not going to accept you unless you give me the best you have. I don't want it. You know why? Because God don't have to have it. He don't need what you have. He don't need it. Remember, God is holy. We are not. God has told us we need to be holy. And God says, I'm going to tell you how to be holy because we don't know how. See, we all like to judge. I'm a good person. I'm a better person than that person. We like to look around the room and say, well, look at that person. They must be a sinner. I'm better than them, and I'm better than them, and I'm better than them. Therefore, I must be pretty good. We have not the ability to judge people. All we need to do is worry about is our own self. And here's the great thing about it, is that God says, I want you to bring me a sacrifice without blemish, perfect. It's impossible. That's why Jesus Christ came and died for us. This is what Jesus did. Jesus says, I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my sinless blood, and I'm going to satisfy the requirement of the Father for you. You can't satisfy the requirement of the Father. I'm going to satisfy it myself, and I'm going to die on the cross and shed sinless blood for you, and I'm going to rise from the dead. And if you accept me as your sacrifice for your sin, you could be forgiven. Sounds like a good deal. Now, what happens in the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus. Jesus said, Moses spoke of me, the prophets spoke of me, and this is exactly what he was talking about. This whole sacrificial system, and I keep doing this because I'm in the tabernacle. I'll show you that in a minute. This altar and the holy place inside that tent and the whole tabernacle and the whole system and the design of the tabernacle was all pointing towards Jesus. And Jesus satisfied the sacrifice that was without blemish. Look at number 2 in your notes. Number 2 says, the offering must be sacrificed. The offering sacrifice requires the worshiper's full participation. full participation. In other words, you had to come and sacrifice the offering yourself. You had to kill it yourself. You had to skin it yourself. You had to cut it up, dissect it, wash the guts yourself. Ooh, I don't want to do that. Well, guess what? You weren't accepted then. I don't want to get my hands dirty. Too bad. I don't want to go down in that neighborhood. You got a problem. I don't want to pray for people in public. That's your problem. I don't want to share my faith. You got a problem. God says, I don't want to hear that. He told these people, look what it says. It says in verse 4, he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now we're going to show you a diagram of the tabernacle, so the portable church. Now if you look at the diagram, all the green triangles are the little tents where the people lived. And we're going to show you in the book of Numbers how that's shaped differently. But just for now, we don't want to give away the secret. But that's all the people. The orange rectangle is the outside of the tabernacle. Everybody see the orange? If you see the bottom of the orange tabernacle, there's a little space in the horizontal line at the bottom. That space is the entrance of the tabernacle, which is right here at the podium. Okay? Right inside that open space is that black box. See that black square? That's this altar. So you came in the tabernacle, and the first thing you hit is this altar. And what the Jews would do, they would have to bring their offering to the entrance of the tabernacle, kill it, and inside the tabernacle where I'm standing, the priest would take the blood, sprinkle it on the altar, then take the offering and put it on the altar. Let's read again. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest shall take Aaron's blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it in pieces. And Aaron's son, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire of the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. The priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. What he did, he had to go select his offering, pick out his best sheep, best lamb, best calf, whatever it is. He had to bring it to the entrance, kill it. They take the blood. The priest who's on the inside would take the blood and put it on. These are the horns of the altar. They represent the strength, north, east, west, and south, which actually, if you take the first letters of those four ordinances, it's news. North, and E, east, west, W, S, south is news, good news. You got the four horns of the altar, and they would sprinkle it, and then they would come back, and you had to not only kill it, you had to skin it, cut it up, take the guts out, wash the guts. Why? Because God don't want that junk that's in your guts on his altar. He didn't want the feces, the urine, the undigested food in your intestines and in your stomach, all the bile. Oh, he wanted to take that all out. I don't want that in here. Just simple, clean. Wash the legs. Why? He don't want no mud. He wants it clean. You wash it all out and you give the whole, for the burnt offering, the whole animal. And you put it on the altar and God's fire will consume it. And what you were saying was, God, I offer my whole self. Now, when you put your hand on the head, that means he was transferring his sin onto that offering. And he was saying, this, my sin is going on the head of this offering, and this animal is going to pay for my sin, and he would kill it. Oh, Jesus. Now, here's the thing. They had to do that over and over and over and over and over and over, over, over. Do you know that today, the Jews are preparing to build their temple so they can start doing this again? Because that's how they get the sin forgiven. You know what Jesus Christ said? I died once for all. You don't need to keep doing it over and over again. This was symbolic of what Christ did. He was preparing them for what he would do. Because the blood of bulls and the blood of rams don't pay for our sin. And Christ said, if you come to me, I am your sacrifice. I died for you. I shed my blood sinless once and for all. You never have to do that again. And so once you select your sacrifice, you have to think, what are you going to select to give God? What is it that you think you have that's good enough for God to accept as payment for your sin? Think about that for a minute. You're going to give God your car? He don't want your car. You're going to give God your good looks? You ain't that cute. I'm not trying to bag on anybody, but nobody's that cute. That's what some of y'all just go, well, you don't think that. Nobody's cute enough to say, God, because why? God is holy, and God is the one who makes us holy. God is the one who determines what holiness is. And you know what he said? Cuteness ain't it. Money ain't it. You can't buy your salvation. You may be able to buy some religious person's favor, but do not be deceived, as he is. That ain't going to get you to heaven. You can't service your way into heaven. Do a bunch of good deeds. In our world, I'm a good person, so therefore I'm going to heaven. It don't work that way. The Bible says that don't work. You know what the Bible says? There has to be bloodshed to pay for sin. That's what God said, the holy God. You want to come into my presence? And by the way, his presence is on the other side of this altar. It's in that tent. You can't get in the tent unless you come to the altar first, unless you shed blood first. So God's saying, I want you to shed blood in this prescribed manner I determine. And you know what he said? Jesus Christ is my prescribed manner for you. Jesus Christ, my son, he died, he rose, he's alive. And if you accept his death in your place, if you say to yourself, you know what? I have nothing to give God that is worthy according to his standard. I can't go polish anything I have that's going to please him. I'm telling you that's fact. The Bible tells you that. And yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us and rose from the dead. What an amazing opportunity he has given us. And he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you accept him as your sacrifice, him as your offering, without blemish, already prepared. You don't have to cut it up. You don't have to do anything. He's already prepared himself. As a matter of fact, he was filleted on the cross when they beat him and nailed him. He was skinned on the cross, bled on the cross when they beat him and nailed him. Here he did it for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, if you're taking notes, please write down Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg you therefore, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you, please present your body a living sacrifice. Everyone say living sacrifice. Listen to what it says. Don't be a dead sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. And then it says, holy. Everyone say holy. What's the key word in Leviticus? Say holy. He says, I want you to be a living sacrifice, not a dead one. I want you to be holy. And this is your only, and I want you to be acceptable without blemish. In other words, I want you to present yourself to me with your best. Set aside just for me, alive. A dead sacrifice can't speak. A dead sacrifice can't pray, can't share the gospel, can't encourage, can't love, can't forgive. Dead sacrifice can't do any of that. He wants us to be a living sacrifice so he can use your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your heart. He says, I want you to be alive, and I want you to place yourself, come into my presence, come into the tabernacle via the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gives you access, and I want you to lay your life on this altar so my Holy Spirit fire can consume you. So I can, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to renew your mind and your heart. So this whole tabernacle, they're doing all this stuff, not realizing what they're doing. And Jesus is going, yeah, in about a couple thousand years, I'm going to show you what that really is all about. And he came and he died. He rose. He was cut up. He was the lamb that was slain for our sin. And they would take a lamb, kill it. He said, no, I'm the lamb. Remember in Egypt? They had to put the blood of a what on their door? Blood of a lamb, so the angel of death would do what to their house? Everyone say Passover. Jesus Christ is the lamb that was slain. The theme continues with this blood. Started back in Genesis chapter 3 when God killed an animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. Third one. First, you have to select your sacrifice. Then you have to participate in the killing of the sacrifice and preparing the sacrifice. And last one, the offering must be given spontaneously when led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when they wanted, they felt compelled to commit their life to the Lord, they give a burnt offering. When they felt compelled to say thank you to God, they give a grain offering. When they felt compelled to say, Lord, I want to have peace with you, they give a peace offering. When they knew they sinned, they come with a sin offering or a guilt offering. He said, listen, I'm not going to force you. I'm over here. I'm just over here. This is God. I'm over here. You want to commit yourself? Come on, bring your good stuff. Bring it good. Now, you have to remember, if you remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about Nadab and Abihu, two sons of Aaron, two priests that gave a wrong sacrifice, and the fire of God went out and killed them. If you weren't here, it was Leviticus 10. They hit the 40 ounce. Y'all remember that story? These two brothers hit the 40 ounce. They got a little drunk. And then they came and, hey, let's go worship the Lord. And they came into the tabernacle with fire. And the fire came out and went whoosh, made them brothers into crispy critters, killed them right on the spot. I promise you that made everybody else think twice about what they were going to bring to God. Because they came and said, man, you know, I want to give God my best sheep. I think this one looks pretty good. And, you know, the eczema's underneath there. He'll come and see that. And they come and cut this bad boy. They knew God would know. God said, you know, what's that little scab underneath that? That ain't a scab. That's mud. Let me just wipe it off. That's not a scab. Don't bring me junk. After you select your best one, then you prepare it. Then you come and say, Lord, here it is. I feel led. And the whole time, these people had to trust God, because when they killed one of their lambs, it was no longer food for them. And it could no longer produce babies to make food. They were trusting that God was going to provide for their need. What about you today? What are you going to give God? If you die without your sin being forgiven, you are eternally separated from God because you can't have access to Him. You have no access to Him. It only comes through a blood sacrifice that's according to His standard. So what are you going to give Him? Can't give me good looks, can't give me reputation, can't give me your power, can't give me your money, can't give me all your material things. That will not pay for your sin. That will not gain you access to God. Jesus Christ says, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. I gave my life as a ransom for you. And if you would acknowledge Jesus Christ today and say, yes, I realize I need an offering for my sin. I realize I don't have one in of myself. I realize that I'm not good enough. I want to accept Christ as my offering so I can have access to God. And then I want to lay my life down at the foot of the altar. Which, by the way, this altar is a place of sacrifice, represents a place of sacrifice. And ironically enough, when you made an altar, you couldn't make it with any rocks that you carved out. It had to be natural rocks. Because the altar represented the earth raised up, not a monument to God. When you build a church, the church is not an altar. It's not a monument to God, even though we try to make it all pretty, thinking it's going to please God. This altar was simply either dirt raised up or rocks piled up on top of each other that had no chisel on them, because God didn't want any man to think he could make something holy enough. Because the altar was a place where God would come and meet man. See, God wouldn't go on the earth. He says, the earth is cursed. I want you to raise the earth, but you can't raise it to heaven, so I'm going to come down and meet you there. This was a place where God and man's sacrifice met. You have to say, I don't have anything like that, so I'm going to ask Christ to be my Savior, that I may lay my life down on the altar where God is going to meet me. It's the only way I can get to the altar. It's through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Can't get there any other way. Can't get there any other way. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And maybe you realize, I want to go there, and I have nothing to give to get there except Jesus. So I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior and cleanse my sin, give me access to God today. Next week, when we talk about the priest, the priest's job was to be a mediator between man and God. And we're going to talk about how every single one of us is that priest. You don't need a mediator. You can go to God direct, and that's through Jesus Christ. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you offer us a sacrifice, yourself as a sacrifice. I thank you so much, God, that you make it clear to us that we need a holy sacrifice, and we don't have one. We have to depend on you. Thank you that you make it clear to us that we're all sinners, and that the penalty is death. Unless we can give you something to pay for our sin, satisfying the penalty, and that something is Jesus. Something is a sacrifice that you provided yourself. If you realize today that Jesus died for your sin, he rose from the dead for your sin, he loves you, and he wants to forgive you today. And you want to accept his death in your place, a holy sacrifice, paying for your sin, giving you access to God. If you would like him to forgive you this morning, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. By faith, pray these things. In your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong and that the penalty is death. But I believe Jesus died for me. He rose from the dead. I believe he loves me. Jesus, please forgive me. Please be my Savior, my Lord. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender my life. I lay it down on the altar. Thank you, Jesus. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying this morning, yes, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin, I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging God's forgiveness in your life. You are acknowledging that, yes, you want him to cleanse you and fill you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying this morning, yes, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Yes, God bless you. Yes, stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. This morning is your day. You're saying, yes, Lord, I'm not fighting you anymore. I'm not going to try to give you what I want. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you have determined to be good enough. And that's your son, Jesus. Please forgive me. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. 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 Very good. God bless you. Very good. Today is the day of salvation. God wants you to do it because you want it, because you know you need it, and there's nowhere else to go. It is true for all of us. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God bless you. Good girl. Good, good. Very good. Good, good, good. Very good. Good. Now we're going to ask all of you, and there are many of you, as we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat, come down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen.